You're listening to a Toronto Centre podcast. Welcome. The goal of TC Podcasts is to spread the knowledge and accumulated experience of global leaders, experts, and world-renowned specialists in financial supervision and regulation. In each episode, we'll delve into some of today's most pressing issues as it relates to financial supervision and regulation. The financial crisis, climate change, financial inclusion, fintech, and much more. Enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. I'm Demet Çanakçı, a Senior Program Director at Toronto Centre. I'm delighted to host today's conversation with two highly respected leaders in financial supervision. Andrea Ingria, Senior Advisor at the Bank of England's Prudential Regulation Authority and former Chair of the European Central Bank's Supervisory Board. And Pedro Duarte Neves, Advisor to the Board of Directors at Bank of Portugal and former Vice Governor. Together, they have recently launched the Forum on Financial Supervision, an initiative of the London School of Economics Systemic Risk Centre that aims to foster open and independent debate on supervisory policy and practice. Andrea, Pedro, welcome and congratulations on this important new platform. Let's begin with what inspired you to create it. Andrea, you have led Europe's major supervisory bodies, the EBA, the ECB Supervisory Board, and now the PRA. What inspired you to create this forum, and what gap do you hope it fills in the global supervisory conversation?
Thanks a lot to have us in the podcast, Demet. And as you say, I spent many years dealing with banking regulation and supervision in different authorities and jurisdictions. And one common element is that being a supervisor is a lonely job. You grapple with very difficult challenges and carry a big responsibility. And of course, there is a lot of preparatory work, a lot of internal debate in the organization. But as your choices are likely to be challenged, especially if there are banking crises, you have to carefully weigh all the pros and cons of each decision. And so we thought that creating a forum to debate key supervisory issues could help alleviating this loneliness of the supervisors and give them the benefit of getting ideas and perspectives from experienced policymakers and academics. The forum also can provide a neutral place in which different views can openly confront each other, ideally involving also market participants. The interaction between supervisors and financial firms generally occurs in formal channels, consultation on regulatory proposals, supervisory dialogue with individual firms. There is a bit a lack of open, informal discussion, I think. So when I was at EBA, Pedro was with me at the time, we launched a research conference with call for papers and the same idea we did at the ECB. But we need more than one event per year, I think. In most cases, attracting researchers from the supervisory authorities themselves. If scholars are better informed about the top priorities for supervisors and the challenges they face, there will be greater interest also to do research and help out supervisors in fulfilling their task of protecting financial stability, I think.
Thank you, Andrea. That point about supervision being a lonely job really resonates, especially when big decisions are being made under pressure and often behind closed doors. Pedro, let me bring you in here. Andrea spoke about the need for openness and connection across the supervisory community. From your perspective, what gap were you trying to fill, and how is this forum different from the existing global platforms out there?
Well, let me also start, as Andrea, by thanking you, Demet, and Toronto Centre for hosting this podcast. And just before progressing, let me make the usual disclaimer that views and opinions expressed are mine and do not necessarily reflect those of Bank Portugal or Eurosystem. Addressing your question, we have designed the forum with very comprehensive perspective in what concerns the preservation of financial stability. So, having this in mind, the forum aims to cover just four dimensions. First, all the segments of financial sector, so banks, insurance, reinsurance firms, pension funds, investment funds, security markets, and even unregulated financial institutions. Second, the public functions that constitute the safeguard of financial stability, macroprudential, conduct supervision, anti-money laundering, crisis management and resolution, deposit and other guarantee schemes, financial literacy. Third, all of that with a double perspective, the regulatory one, which, I mean, defines the set rules and available policy tools, and the supervisory one, which includes monitoring, judgment, and enforcement. And finally, Andrea also mentioned that, aiming to cover the points of view from many perspectives, senior policymakers, supervisors, central bankers, academics, financial leaders from the industry, and so on. As you said, there are many possible ways to promote knowledge on financial stability. There are already excellent policy networks and regular conferences. We thought that sharing regularly, once per week, say, a contribution from a senior expert is something different than what is already available.
So the forum isn't just a discussion space. It's a way of bringing all parts of the financial system into a single informed dialogue. That leads nicely to my next question. You have selected three themes for the forum's first year that are highly topical and in many cases politically sensitive. Why start there?
Well, these three topics came as a very natural choice. The three topics, as you mentioned, stress testing, non-banking and real estate markets. So starting by the first, stress testing gained compelling relevance during the Great Financial Crisis and also the euro area sovereign crisis, and since then have played a prominent role in the strengthening of capital levels in the banking sector. However, the benefits of repeating the current stress testing exercise seem to be somewhat declining. So the question is, how stress testing should adapt to the new realities, like increasing role of the non-banking sector, high levels of non-financial leverage, digitalization, climate transition. And as it is important to collect views on specific aspects like the following: how to conduct financial system-wide stress tests, including in the same exercise banks, insurers, asset management industry, such as to accommodate increasing interconnections and spillovers between these segments of financial sector. Or also liquidity stress testing, also with a focus on the contagion between banks and non-banks, and with severe conditions in terms of the speed of the runoff of retail funding or the depletion of wholesale funding, just to remind some key features of the spring 23 turmoil. Second, the need to address the risks emerging from the non-banking sector, which expanded considerably once again since the global financial crisis, became increasingly interconnected with the banking sector and still remains to some extent outside the purview of supervisory authorities. This is not a new question. The risks of non-banking sector have been identified well before the pandemic and since then by most international organizations, IMF, BIS, BCBS and also central banks like the ECB or the Bank of England, and that with a double perspective. The regulatory one, should we strengthen the set of prudential rules for the asset management industry, for instance? And the supervisory one, how should those firms be supervised from a prudential point of view? Thirdly and finally, the risks emerging from real estate markets are very relevant in a moment in which commercial real estate has been flagged as a leading financial risk in some jurisdictions. The US is one of the cases. And housing prices have reached all-time highs in most geographies. It is, however, fair to say, and just to conclude, that in what concerns housing, we seem to be much better prepared than before the global financial crisis, as macroprudential policy is proving to be an essential contribution for the preservation of financial stability. Thanks.
Thank you, Pedro. It's striking how all three topics, stress testing, MBFIs, and real estate, point to deeper shifts in the financial system. Andrea, let me turn back to you. Do you see these themes as isolated areas of concern, or are they really signals of something more structural happening in finance today?
I think they reflect structural changes in finance and also a structural change of approach in supervision to some extent after the great financial crisis. There has been a deliberate policy choice to shift financing flows towards capital markets and non-bank financial institutions. And the idea behind that, if the banking channel gets clogged during a crisis, it would be convenient having another robust channel for financing the economy. And also the shift of a significant portion of financing flows to capital markets was seen as a way to improve transparency, reduce concentration in lending, and rely more on firms that on the liability side have equity or long-term debt. So reducing the dependence from flighty bank deposit funding for financing longer-term riskier assets, which is also a way of reducing systemic risk, of course. So that was the plan. But as also Pedro mentioned, the reality is that this plan has not been without risks. The extraordinary increase in the role of NBFIs, or non-banking financial institutions, has led to an increase in opacity rather than increasing transparency. We also see a relatively narrow number of very large players that play a major role in the market. So, you know, challenging the idea that concentration would be reduced. And according to some anecdotal evidence, the IMF has also produced some papers on that, there seems to be a continued involvement of banks in financing non-bank financial institutions via repo financing, credit liquidity lines, and the like. So it's not yet clear how losses would be distributed in a major recession. And this raises important challenges for supervisors. Pedro mentioned it's a while that we are trying to grapple with them. All supervisors are more and more focused on counterparty credit risk, prime brokerage, leverage lending. I mean, all the interface between the regulated banks, for instance, and non-bank financial institutions. But let's say it's really still a challenge. So that's an area where I think there is a structural change and the institutional infrastructure has not yet caught up. Also, a structural change occurred in supervisory practices after the great financial crisis. I mean, Pedro mentioned the prominence gained by stress tests. It's clear that from a past model of supervision that was focused mainly on, you know, checking compliance with the regulatory requirements, supervisors understood that they need to be much more forward-looking. I mean, stress testing has been developed exactly in that perspective. Moreover, I think supervisors understood that they cannot just look, enter into the picture when requirements are close to being breached. No, so you need to go very much more to the root cause of potential problems or poor practices, which is always to be found in poor governance, weak risk culture, and weak internal controls. So supervisors shifted much more the attention into these more fundamental issues. But we have to acknowledge that the toolbox that we have developed in the last 15 years on stress testing and also on assessing cultural and governance issues is not yet mature enough. And it is facing major pushback from the industry. For instance, we have seen the debate in the United States where banks have brought up a lawsuit against the Federal Reserve on the stress test exercise and its opaqueness. And on the other end, the Fed itself is reviewing the role of governance issues in its supervisory process. So it's clear that we are still in the process of adjusting to these structural changes. And having an open debate on those issues, I think, is very useful. I mean, that is where the forum could help, we hope.
Thank you. That idea of moving from compliance to culture is something supervisors everywhere are grappling with. And it takes us to another core feature of the forum. You have made public debate a defining principle of the forum, even encouraging disagreement. Why is that so important at this moment in supervision?
Public debate has traditionally focused on regulatory reforms, while supervision tended to remain a little bit outside of the public discourse, no, wrapped in confidentiality, high-level accountability processes, until, of course, a banking crisis happened or a major financial crisis happened, and then the blame game starts. No, I really believe in the need for strong, effective supervision. As you say, this cannot be focused only on checking compliance with regulations, it requires supervisory judgment, the capacity to act, to intervene and request remedial actions in the presence of material weaknesses in risk management and controls, for instance. So it is and needs to be seen as a necessary external element balancing the governance of highly leveraged and public insured institutions in the case of banks. But if you have ample role for supervisory judgment, I mean, this needs to be balanced. There is a need for transparency, there is a need for checks and balances, there is a need for accountability, and there is a need for a robust public debate. If your supervisory judgment is perceived as, arbitrary, poorly informed, weakly documented, the legitimacy of supervision risks being jeopardized. And we know how quickly the debate could lead to weakening the powers of supervisory authorities. So there are bound to be different views in the course of actions supervisors are taking. We need to bring them up and discuss them openly, I think. This will make supervision stronger. I worked for a lifetime in the central banking community, and what I like of the central banking environment is that good arguments, good analysis carry a lot of weight. And the belief also the good debate strengthens the final decision. And that's what I think we should apply to supervision as well.
Thank you very much for this, Andrea. Pedro, you have a strong academic and macroprudential background. How do you hope to bridge research insights and day-to-day supervisory practice through the forum? And how can the forum's discussions translate into more coordinated approaches to supervision worldwide?
Well, it's not always easy to bridge research with supervision, but it's very important to take advantage of both. And that's why we seek to have both academics and supervisors contributing for the forum. Research, either empirical or theoretical, can provide valuable insights in many aspects. Let me just mention some of them. Identification of stylized facts on financial and banking crises, assessment on the effectiveness of prudential instruments, calibration of prudential both micro and macro instruments, modeling of amplification effects and spillovers in stress testing, use of behavioral economics to improve financial literacy campaigns or to assess board members, as Andrea just mentioned. There are many research conferences, like last month, the Fed Conference on Stress Testing Research, the next week, the EBA Annual Research Workshop. And it's very important to bridge research and supervision. The best possible example of the complementarity between supervision and research is the conversation released by the forum in June between Sam Woods, the chief executive of the Prudential Regulatory Authority and deputy governor of Bank of England, and Professor Sir Andrew Lickerman from the London Business School, a conversation discussing how academic insights can be used to improve the effectiveness of judgment as an essential component of supervision. By offering qualified and varied insights from senior experts, as the one I just mentioned, the forum aims to contribute to identification of emerging systemic risks, supervisory priorities, and even more so, suggestions of effective supervisory practices.
Thank you, Pedro. Perhaps a follow-up question on this. The forum positions itself as a global space for dialogue, and financial stability challenges look very different outside Europe and North America. How do you plan to ensure the forum reflects voices from emerging and developing markets?
Well, up to now, all the contributions came from the advanced economies, EU, US, and UK. Of course, the forum is open to contributions from all around the globe, and also from that point of view, this podcast constitutes a unique opportunity to promote visibility of the forum, as Torum Center has a worldwide presence, including Central Asia, the Middle East, Indo-Pacific, Sub-Saharan Africa, Caribbean, South and Central America, and also Europe and North America. So it's really an opportunity and a privilege to be recording this podcast with you. The forum is open for contributions from experts from international organizations. I mean, just to mention a few, IMF, World Bank, BIS, OECD, but also from specific geographies like SEMLA, the Association of African Central Banks, the Asian Development Bank, Southeast Asian Central Banks Research and Training Center, FinConnect, the International Financial Consumer Protection Organization, and many others. So we are really looking forward to host contributions that are somewhat more directed to emerging and developing economies.
Thank you, Pedro, for your kind words for Toronto Center as well. Back to Andrea. You have often said supervisors need to stay ahead of the curve. How can a platform like this help regulators and supervisors anticipate emerging risks like AI or digital finance rather than react to them?
Yeah, thank you. This is an important question, I think. Supervisors are generally confronted with very tight budgetary constraints. They need to make informed choices to prioritize their activities and focus on the most prominent risks. If they were to thinly spread their scarce human and technological resources to evenly cover all the risks, they will end up making superficial assessments and miss relevant points. So you need to be selective and go deep on the risks that really matter at any specific time with a focused program for supervisory work that combines effectively general priorities for the sector and specific priorities for individual firms. And this is a judgment call, and you better make a well-informed call. Hence, analytical input to select the key risks and prioritize the work is particularly useful to supervisors. So let me say also that this is particularly important in an environment like the current one, in which the pendulum has started to swing towards deregulation, with cut of resources to supervisory authorities and some reluctance to issue new regulation to cover for emerging risks. So having a debate and helping the supervisor to select the right risk on which to focus is extremely, extremely important. And I think also that the supervisory priorities, once you define them, need to be announced so to attract the attention and the focus of bank management and boards and strengthen the defenses where they are needed. And this is something like forward guidance in central banking, no, applied to supervision. So having this process well-designed and open to debate is extremely important, and I hope that the forum can play a role in this. And I'm pleased that we opened the forum with an interview with Charles Goodhart, who gave a number of useful insights on the issues on which supervisors, in his view, should intensify their scrutiny, for instance, interest rate risk deriving from broader changes in government debt levels and demographic trends. And I also appreciated that some of the first contributions to the forum spontaneously focus in areas that require new thinking and action by supervisors, with, for instance, Mike Su and John Daniels, Andreas Huterman focusing on AI, Andreas Dombrett and Van Rensburg and Delgado on stablecoins, so topics on which supervisors will need probably to focus their attention going forward.
Excellent, thank you. Let me finish with a forward-looking question for both of you. If we were to sit down again 2 years from now, what would success look like for the forum? And what kind of impact would you hope for the forum has had on the supervisor community?
Yeah, this is a really great question, Demet. I'd like to identify two main objectives. But first, let me start by stressing that currently we are experiencing an unprecedented combination of, on one side, unusually high uncertainty arising from geopolitical developments, and on the other, a set of ongoing global structural trends, and I can mention few of them: aging, financial innovation, digitalization, artificial intelligence, remote working, high indebtedness, climate transition. And all of this creates new risks and challenges for financial supervision and systemic stability. So, answering to your question, I'll be very happy first if the forum could contribute to the identification of emerging risks for financial stability, and even more so to suggest or contribute to debate on enhance the supervisory practices. And second, to come out with a good set of contributions that could improve supervisory practices and identification of systemic risks in the three specific topics identified: stress testing, non-banking, and real estate.
As I said at the very beginning of our conversation, Demet, supervisors need help to carry out their delicate function in an effective way. If the forum managed to bring useful analysis, market intelligence, and some wisdom from experienced scholars, central bankers, and supervisors to support effective supervision, I mean, that would be, for me, success. The policy debate now in the US, in the European Union, in the UK is almost exclusively focused on the need to simplify the regulatory framework, to cut red tape, to facilitate innovation, competitiveness, and growth. And I hope that the forum manages to discuss also these issues, but to keep attention also on the need for effective supervision and help authorities to ensure proper coverage of emerging risks, as Pedro was also mentioning. I also think that an indicator of success could be seen in triggering more academic research directly focused on key supervisory themes, rather than just a flurry of proposals after major crises. So to have something that really helps supervisors in the conduct of their tasks. We will soon be publishing a paper by Professor Perotti, for instance, on the design of Pillar 2 measures that helps, in my view, and shows a rather novel approach to, you know, look from an academic point of view into supervisory practice. So eventually, for me, it all boils down to supervisors benefiting from the debate in the forum.
Thank you, Andrea and Pedro, for sharing your insights and for the thoughtful discussion. The Forum on Financial Supervision is a timely reminder that open dialogue and reflection are essential to strengthening global supervisory practice, especially as the financial system continues to evolve so rapidly. We look forward to following the Forum's work and seeing how it helps shape future thinking in supervision and regulation. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. And until next time, stay well and stay curious.